Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's a town hall meeting. It's a radio town hall meeting where you get a chance to jump in on the conversation and you get a chance to be heard all across Montana. Of course, that's something we do every day here on Montana Talks. But today, you get to be joined by Montana's Western District Congressman, Ryan Zinke. Congressman Zinke, Mr. Secretary, Commander, great to have you back on the show once again here. Looking forward to all the great caller questions and comments and more. Man, where should we start? Maybe we start with the presidential debate. What did you think about the Trump v. Harris / Trump v. moderators debate the other night?
Well, it was 3-on-1. And I tell you, when a moderator is a sorority sister of a candidate, yeah, I think President Trump came off harsh, but a harsh reality. And in the other side, is almost like a Disneyland make-believe. I don't think it moved America. I think America and Montana, can remember, said, look, let's look at Harris. California, San Francisco, this is the epicenter of sanctuary cities and boys playing girls sports. Then you have Tim Walz, Minnesota, Minneapolis. Epicenter of defund the police. And the result is, look, what's the condition of our country under Biden, Harris, and those policies? So away from personalities and what they say, because this is now a campaign of lies, is what are their policies and what have they done? And I know from my perspective and from being a secretary, look, when we walked in, America was beholden for energy, gasoline was high, and we were vulnerable. We fixed that in 2 years. Our parks were a mess. The infrastructure. In 2 years, we invested the largest investment in the history of this country to repair our park and our forest infrastructure. And look, Trump delivered results. And I'm hoping that, praying that America looks at policies and getting things done, over either harsh reality or just make believe.
What a great analogy there, harsh reality versus just flowery rhetoric. And it's also so analogous to this U.S. Senate race here in Montana. It was interesting seeing some of the post-debate surveys, that, where even some of the folks who said that they felt Kamala Harris won the debate, the support for Donald Trump still increased, according to those same people. So it's as if reality matters more than rhetoric. Same thing's happening in the Senate race here in Montana, where John Tester, like Kamala Harris, is pretending to be this Make America Great Again conservative. But I think people are seeing through the flowery rhetoric, the phony commercials, and more. All right, more with Congressman Ryan Zinke right after this. Let's start with your phone calls, 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, as promised, let's start with your phone calls for this radio town hall meeting with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. First up, and we're doing a bit of a lightning round, obviously, because we've got a lot of callers that want to jump in on the conversation. So if you got a quick question or a quick comment, give us a ring, send us a message on the app. Richard in Jordan, thanks for the call.
Good morning. Mr. Congressman, I would like to know if you will be willing to take the lead on creating a group of people within Congress that can address presidential powers. I mean, it's been lately that we've seen that the president has far too much power to do things like shut down oil wells on federal land on a whim. That should be something that, because it affects the entire country so devastatingly, that should be something that would be the vote of the people through Congress.
All right, so what can we do to rein in the abuse of presidential power? Richard, thanks for the call. Thanks for your service. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts.
Two comments. One, we had the Chevron decision. And what the Chevron decision said was that bureaucracy under any presidency does not have the right to extend their authority beyond congressional intent. And that itself... for abuse. Secondly, I think we've got to go back to the Constitution. And states do have rights and powers. And a lot of times, our state's rights have been abused and that they haven't been listened to. And we see it every day in Montana. Let me give you an example. You know, the Yellowstone River. Some aspect of some organization within the federal government wants to manage water flow, water temperature, riparian bank, fish in, wildlife out, every part of that river. And what's ironic is the same people who want to manage it have never, ever been there. They see the Yellowstone, it's, you know, through the lens of Yellowstone, you know, the movie. But they've never been out there, yet they want to manage every aspect of our life. And that's where states' rights, and you know what, local communities have a say. And I think we do two things. We go back to the Constitution and look at states' rights and where we're at. And look, I'm not an advocate for selling or transferring public land. I'm an advocate for management. And what we see across Montana is a lot of times gross mismanagement, and we don't have a voice. And that needs to be corrected.
Yeah, that Chevron decision was so huge. I don't think folks fully appreciate how big this recent Supreme Court decision was. I mean, it almost has me wondering if President Trump gets back in the White House, if he could almost take a red line through all of those regulations and say, wait a minute, according to the Chevron decision, nope, that's no longer in effect. That's just take a massive red pen to all of these, abusive regulations that are on the books. That's going to be fun to watch, if you ask me. Let's get to another caller here, Lily in Missoula. Thanks for your call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, Congressman, this is arguably the most important election of our lifetime. Can you tell me what are some of the Republican priorities you guys will pass if we keep the House, win the Senate, and the presidency in November?
All right. Thanks, Lily, for the call. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts.
One, what do we face? You know, on home shores in Montana, we got inflation that's out of control. We have energy prices that are too high. We have overregulation, et cetera. We have high taxes. There's a lot of domestic issues that need to be addressed. And look, we're a great country. We have a powerful engine. But you know, the policies where we're going to, you know, overspend, underdeliver, and, you know, it hurts. It hurts us all. And then overseas, look, we face four real threats. You know, we don't have a plan in Ukraine. $180 billion, we still spend it. We got China that's thirsty, and they're looking at Taiwan. They got Venezuela, which is unfolding in our backyard. And then of course, you look at the border. Every city and town across Montana is feeling the effects of having no border. And I can tell you, I watched the debate and out of discussion, and to say they're a bipartisan deal. This bipartisan deal that Harris was talking about codified catch and release. It allowed more than 5,000 people in this country illegally. It gave free legal services, jobs, health care. It wasn't a border bill. It was amnesty. And the House passed our H.R. 2, House Resolution 2, which absolutely did what it should do. It stopped the illegal immigration, and it turned that, you know what, we want people to come in this country and work and participate, but you got to wait in line and you got to do it legally. I think it's unacceptable to quite frankly, you know, incentivize bad behavior, incentivize illegal activity.
Oh, that's right. And of course, everything you just outlined about Kamala Harris, you can double it up with John Tester, who backed every single one of her open border policies there. All right. Nancy, in Roundup, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, good morning, Congressman. Okay, we have a military and a Navy in order to defend our country. Right now we have a recruitment crisis. Not enough people are talking about this. Our men and women do not want to join the military or a Navy because it's too woke. If Kamala Harris gets inside the White House, she wants to cut our defense by another 10%. Can you please assure we Americans what Congress will do in our defense to rebuild our military? Thank you, sir.
All right. Great question, Nancy. Thanks for the call right on time, because we got to go to a quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll get a response from Congressman Zinke right after this. I got a listener in Libby who wants to talk about the latest spending bill fight, and more callers on the line as well.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into it here for our radio town hall meeting with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. Yeah, Nancy in Roundup brought up a great question there about the military recruitment crisis. Commander Zinke, a retired Navy SEAL commander, on top of being a former Interior Secretary under President Trump as well. Look, you know this all too well. What do we do to actually fix the crisis? I personally think that if Donald Trump is reelected, is put back in the White House, that will fix this problem to a certain extent on its own, because that will spark renewed optimism and enthusiasm for recruitment, because people will know that he's going to clean the mess up. But I like what President Trump had to say recently, where he talked about going in and just cleaning house any of these top brass that were there, that were you know, threatening our troops over the, you know, the COVID shot, that are pushing this woke stuff. Just you need to totally clean house if we're going to clean up this recruitment crisis. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, when I tell Montanans, all right, that our United States Navy will pay for sex change operations and hormone therapy to new recruits, shocking, as well as America should be shocked and discuss it. You know, stop. All stop. So you're right. There's a problem with recruiting. There's a problem with serving in faraway wars that we had no plan. You know, we're looking at four, you know, regional conflicts. All of them, you know, could have a lot of bite. And then on top of that, look, we face, you know, and the idea that boys can play girl sports. I mean, and, you know, we went through all this Title IX to make sure that the young women have great opportunity and compete at the highest levels. And now we're going to disassemble that? Absolutely not. You know, and this is nuts. You know, and America's not woke. I could say Harris, Waltz, Chernell. You know, this is not Montana. This is not America.
Yeah, it's crazy. Your opponent, the Democrat candidate in this race, who you defeated last go around, Monica Tranel, she has openly said on camera that she supports men in girls' sports, basically taking away those girls' sports opportunities. John Tester voted to allow men into girls' sports. Some female athletes at the University of Montana refused a paid endorsement deal for Tester because of his vote against women's sports. And isn't it amazing how the fake news media across Montana, most of them in the TV stations and, you know, the Lee newspapers and elsewhere, they completely ignore that story. Isn't it interesting?
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's most interesting on the recent series of commercials. You have literally Senator Tester with a cutout of Donald Trump hugging him and talking about, you know, how much he supported him and worked with him. This is the same guy that voted to you know, impeach him twice, right? It's not even credible. It is absolutely laughable. And now it's just, and you can see,
you know, little lies stretch into big lies, stretch into enormous, enormous lies. And I think that's what Montana's, you know, finally figured out, that John Tester is, you know, 350 pounds of bovine exhaust.
Yeah, we can't say the full word on here. You can say Adam Schiff.
I heard that. I corrected that. Bovine exhaust is absolutely appropriate.
I was listening in while I was driving out to got to take some military families out on the lake, and I was listening in while you were on with David Noble. That was a great show, and a great line as well. Before I get back to some callers, we had a question come in on our Montana Talks app and on the email as well. The Disney family in Libby, Montana, said this: Aaron, you simply must question Zinke about his position on the budget and the continuing resolution. And on that front, I just saw this morning that Joe Biden is saying that he would veto a GOP House funding bill. He would veto a bill. And the reason why he would veto it, the reason why Democrats are opposed to what you and House Republicans are trying to do, is because you guys are trying to attach the SAVE Act to that spending bill that would basically require that if people are going to vote in our elections, they have to be U.S. citizens. So the Democrats are willing to shut down the government in order to stop a measure that would require proof of citizenship in voting. This is crazy.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, this is where I sit on continuing resolutions. You know, over time, if we go back to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, no money should be withdrawn from the Treasury unless consequenced by appropriations by Congress by law. You know, I sit on appropriations, and we only appropriate, you know, less than a third of the budget, and then of what we appropriate, there's a lot of programs that aren't even authorized. So continuing resolution, omnibuses, all these things have been invented by Congress to do one thing, in my opinion, to punt, to not tackle the hard decisions. Look, we're America. Let's tackle the hard decisions. But on top of that, here's the omnibus.
I think your cell phone might be breaking up a little bit. Yeah, you're breaking up just a little bit there. You're breaking up just a little bit there, Congressman, but I think we got you back.
Here's the inside scoop. The House is we prefer funding bills, our appropriation bills, because we can control the spending. The Senate, they prefer omnibuses because that's where Schumer gets his power, by these huge omnibuses. And I can tell you, Republicans, we should not take the bait on shutting the government down. You know, as a former secretary, I can tell you, when you shut the government down, you literally give the keys to the exec to the car with a full tank of gasoline and ammunition and weapons in the back. Don't take the bait. Because I can tell you, an administration that wants to make it political can do grievous harm.
So to sum it up,
a lot of examples and why.
So to sum it up, it's basically nobody wants to see these nonstop, these continuing resolutions. But at the end of the day, especially on the eve of the election, your argument is that the House Republicans can't afford to take the blame for a government shutdown right now. You've got to keep the focus on the Biden-Harris Tester regime and their failures. Is that kind of a good summary?
Well, it's what a secretary can give an example. When I armed by and shut down the park, but I didn't shut down pipeline inspections, offshore platform inspections, terminal inspections, power. You know, but I could have, because I can determine what's critical and essential. But you give an administration that wants to make it political the keys. You know, they can shut down the national airspace by increasing the distance between planes. There's all sorts of things, and the election itself will be at risk. And right now, I don't think America could handle another election that is suspect if we're under a government shutdown, where the government itself controls a lot of the aspects of access, voter, et cetera.
cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Interesting. And these guys will never let a crisis go to waste. They will take advantage of any opportunity, that is for sure. All right. Well, let's get back to more caller questions here. We've got Mark in Fort Benton on the phone lines. Mark, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Yes. Hello and good morning to Ryan. Thanks for your service, and you too, Aaron. I really appreciate that. And
hey, thanks to all who served. Thank you.
You bet. I want to ask this question, and maybe you know the answer. Maybe it's still uncertain how this happened, but how did they transport so many Haitians to one little city, Springfield, Ohio, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, where'd they come from? Wasn't this like a gradual thing, or... And then can this happen in Montana? Would our governor be able to stop something like that if all of a sudden we start getting an influx of illegal immigrants just all at once that happened like it did there, or how I think it happened? Or
Yeah, great topic, great question. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts. We've got a couple minutes here before the next break.
Boy, you have these huge pockets that grow. You have Flint, Michigan. You know, SEAL Team 6 used to train in Flint, Michigan, because it replicated Baghdad. Go down to Billings. Go down to Billings to, you know, and there's a lot of Venezuelans there.
Yeah.
Go to Bozeman and look, a lot of the business guys are being harassed by Mexican cartels. So it's here, and it is a result of, it absolutely is the Biden-Harris open border. And I tell you, the idea that this bipartisan was absolutely bull. Because it was a codified catch and release, allowed 1.9 million illegal immigrants in, gave them full legal services, et cetera, et cetera. So when people hear that somehow there's this bipartisan border deal that Trump shut down, absolutely nonsense, because it wasn't a border deal, it was amnesty.
Well, and I talked with a gentleman named John Fabricatori earlier this morning. He was the ICE field director for the state of Colorado and the state of Wyoming. And basically, when it comes to the Haitian migrants that are overwhelming Springfield, Ohio, he said the Biden-Harris tester regime is using the same program to invade Ohio with the Haitian migrants that they're using to invade other parts of the country with Venezuelans and others. And they're just giving them this, they're abusing the refugee asylum process to just give them a button. Oh yeah, here you go. And so they're giving them a legal status. And it is just such a national disgrace what this regime is doing, if you ask me. All right, we got to get to our next break here. We got Benny B in Whitefish. We got Bonnie in the Flathead and more callers on the phone lines, plus phone lines open for you at 406-294-0970. Now, my take on this spending bill is I'd love to see the House GOP put a spending bill on Joe Biden's desk that includes the SAVE Act, force him to veto it, force John Tester to vote against it, put these clowns on record with the harm that they are willing to cause to this country, and force them to have to veto it ahead of the deadline. That's my take.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, Potomac, Montana rancher Justin Iverson is joining the U.S. Meat Export Federation on a trade mission to Japan. Iverson is representing the Montana Beef Council on the trade mission.
The Japanese consumer is very driven by quality and taste, and they absolutely highly value grain-finished beef. They're not interested in grass-finished. They can get that from Australia if they want, but they actually prefer very high-end grain-finished. They like the eating quality, they like the texture, they like the eating experience. And so they want to know how we are finishing our cattle, how we are selecting our genetics, how we raise them on the ground. They wanted to see pictures of our ranches. Somewhat interested in sustainability. That's a little bit less for them. They are very concerned about the environment. They want to know that we're healthy and we're safe, but they know that the American producer has very high quality and very high standards for environmental care. And so it's not the biggest driver for them. It really comes down to the eating experience.
Iverson emphasized the economic impact of beef exports, with Japan being a top market, exporting premium cuts like strip loin, short ribs, and other products like beef tongue and others that aren't desirable in the United States, help American producers maximize profits by adding nearly $400 in carcass value. The trade mission concludes this weekend. I'm Lane Nordlund.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. 406-294-0970 is the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation with our radio town hall here with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. Let's see. Let's go next to Benny B. in Whitefish. Same town, I think, Congressman Zinke's in right now. Benny, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. What was your question or comment?
Well, first of all, of course, thank you to both of you for your service, and good morning to Ryan. Big Bulldog game going on tonight, so we're getting ready for that in a rainy Flathead Valley morning here. But my question is kind of a two-parter. Ryan, you're coming from a military background as a Navy SEAL. What do you see with all the threats in the world that we have today? We have China, we have Russia, of course, North Korea. There's word of the depletion of our military, both in recruitment numbers, but also technology-wise, we seem to be lagging behind. Looking at it from a military and also as a congressman, what would you do if you were in charge right now? What do we need to prioritize as getting ourselves up to speed here, technology-wise? As most of these wars, you know, hopefully we don't have them, but if we were, most of them are not boots on the ground anymore. It's drones, technology, and the word is that China is leaps and bounds ahead of us. That should be a priority, whoever becomes president. What would you do first, and where do you see us being behind? And then the other part of the question, and I'll shut up and let you answer these, with the attempted assassination of President Trump, and obviously somebody dropping the ball there big time with the Secret Service, and it seems to be even lending itself to some type of cover-up. That and also the, weaponizing the Department of Justice. As a congressman, are there going to be some investigations into these things? And, you know, we hear about these investigations, but none of it comes to fruition. Nobody ever gets their held accountable. You don't see anybody, getting impeached or put in jail unless they're Republicans.
Great questions all around. In fact, you probably saw this as well, Benny, but even FoxNews.com had a story this morning. Even Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal out of Connecticut is predicting that Americans will be, quote, shocked and appalled when lawmakers release their interim report here regarding this assassination attempt. So even a Democrat senator saying, oh, yeah, Americans are going to be shocked at what they hear. Congressman Zinke, your thoughts on both of those great questions.
Okay, well, and I look forward to having a beer with you over this. But the top line is this: the American military remains the most powerful ever been assembled. The leadership makes a difference. We've watched this cascade from Afghanistan to Ukraine. I mean, Iran is launching ICBM missiles. These are intercontinental ballistic missiles directly at Israel. We got a soft underbelly in Venezuela. And you're right, our military needs to shift. Now, really quickly, I said it on appropriations. We give $867 billion in defense, half the discretionary budget. Do we get $867 billion worth of defense? Absolutely not. We're going to have to restructure because we have to restructure on what we face today. And just as a fiscal conservative, which I am, we have 800,000 DOD employees. That's not uniformed. Those are employees. You know, many of them are absolutely necessary. But when you look at how expensive that is, that's over $200 billion when you add pension fund. And on combat strength, that's like 10 aircraft carriers a year, fully loaded. I mean, we can only probably deploy maybe six. And so, yeah, so just the combat power we're losing in bureaucracy, we've got to look at the future and not the past. And look, leadership makes a difference, and you can't sustain this. Or you're going to, down in the Navy recruiter, one of the recruiting benefits is free sex change operations and hormone therapy, and then they go to the VA, and the VA pays it for life.
Well, and then Kamala Harris.
America's not behind us.
And Kamala Harris was on record. Even Time magazine had to correct their own attempted fact check because Kamala Harris was on record. Even CNN reported that she wants to pay for sex change surgeries for illegal aliens.
But Harris, she's on record. She didn't realize you're a vice president of the United States, and she didn't realize we had people, military armed services in a combat zone?
Wasn't that outrageous?
I mean, look, I'm special operations. We're probably in, 62 countries right now?
At least.
How many servicemen do we lose each year? So, of course we're in combat. And she doesn't know it as a vice president, and they don't call her on it?
We've continued to see Montanans get deployed to the Middle East in the past few years. And, yeah, it's like there's just no concept of it. Before we get to our next caller, I got to get your take. This was such a punch in the gut that we got as a state yesterday. It's a punch in the gut to the entire state. Stillwater Mining, Stillwater Mine is going to lay off something like 700 employees. And it's just a punch in the gut. And it's just outrageous because we've got such an anti-mining agenda coming out of Washington, D.C. Your opponent has been openly against Colstrip. We shut down the Colstrip mine. That's going to lead to the shutdown of the mine in Butte as well. And so we've got an anti-mining agenda, and it's having real-world consequences.
Well, look at our economy. Well, people would want to come in manufacture, in Montana. And there's been folks that have left Butte, Montana, because we don't have the power. Montana doesn't have the power. We should never disassemble Montana power, by the way. Different story.
Well, yeah.
Low energy costs, make a difference, right? And these guys that assaulted, and you think the Green New Deal? I mean, one of the reasons why power is so expensive is we're forced to eat all this green, sustainable energy, which is higher. Higher in cost. And in Colstrip, I was in committee, and the head of the EPA is telling me that, the reason why they're shutting down Colstrip is because of particulate. I go, particulate? There's more particulate driving up the North Fork gravel road than it was out there. It meets every condition of for mercury, everything else, and you're talking to me, you're going to shut down Colstrip for particulate? In Colstrip?
Yeah, these people are nuts.
This is how wacky these people are, Aaron.
That's right.
They are absolutely off the charts wacky.
That's right. Wacky walls and Kamala's crazy policies, too. All right. And of course, John Tister's with them every step of the way. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Bonnie in the Flathead. Bonnie, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, it's multi-part. Person is stinky, and we feel here in Montana that we have a war against the people and the land, and it's part of our constitution in Montana to not allow things to go, toxins to go into the properties of others. And from the chemtrails disclosure and investigation of what they're spraying on us every single day, paid for by tax funding, and the 5G towers and the DOD war on Americans with everything from the creation of COVID and the toxic vaccines. And we just feel like we're being poisoned in our food supply and pesticides. And when can you help stop this or put some law that cease and desist on toxicity, or that somebody has to biodegrade, or have all their toxins being able to be biodegraded, because there's technology and fungal science and mushrooms about how they can turn around anything that's a toxin.
All right. Appreciate the question. Let's go to Congressman Zinke. Congressman, your thoughts about a minute or so before our next break.
Well, overall, if you're looking at healthy environment and healthy, there's a lot that can be done and should be done. And I'll extend just a little just on health care. The opposition wants to make free health care. What I want to make? I want to make good health care. Accessible healthcare. We use innovation, and some of that's nutrition. We should be in the schools talking about nutrition, and also we should reinstate things like the presidential fitness program. There's so many kids that aren't even eligible for a military service because they're just not physically, capable.
Yeah,
and they're not even qualified. And so look, America. That you're right in that chemicals, toxins, healthy environment and, you know, a healthy nation is a strong nation.
Yeah, in general, I think there's RFK Jr. has brought some important things to the table, and him teaming up with Trump is going to be very interesting to say. Look, when it comes to agricultural chemicals, I think there's some people that want to have a knee-jerk opposition to it. Oh, we can't have these chemicals. Well, actually, it's those chemicals that allow us to produce more food with less harm to the environment, with and the ability to consume less resources. So sometimes people can get a little too crazy about a knee-jerk opposition to that. But Brian Massard out of Dillon, Montana, has raised a very good point. Our own government has been anti-beef, and beef and the fat in beef is actually healthy for people and healthy for kids, and that's something RFK and him have been talking about. Quick break, back after this.
No. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, let's see. Let's sneak in another quick caller here. Tim in Great Falls. Did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for staying on the phone lines. Tim, are you there?
No, it's not Tim. It's Ken.
Oh, it's Ken. Okay. Hey, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. You got it wrong on the power, Congressman. The idea, the cheapest power now is solar and batteries. The price of a battery 10 years ago was $1,000 per kilowatt hour. And now it's down to $50 per kilowatt hour. We're putting in a new battery by Glacier right now. This has totally changed the power outlet. The idea of keeping coal. I was 20 years old, 1975. I did my apprenticeship building coal strip 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm 70 years old now, and I'm shot, and those plants are shot too. And to keep them as a reliable power, that's one of the most insane things you can talk about. They're going to be falling apart here. They haven't kept up the maintenance to keep them going 40 years.
All right. I mentioned we're doing quick questions or quick comments. Ken sounds like if he was in the Western Congressional District, he would vote for the anti-coal strip. Monica Tranel, Congressman Zinke, your thoughts, the solar power, et cetera, coal strip.
Well, my thoughts, everyone desires clean energy, but you also have to look at the supply chain on batteries and the push to EV. So where are the components made? You know, lithium, cobalt, who has the processing? China has northwards of 80% of it. Right? So what's ironic is we're shifting our vulnerability. And by the way, when America moves forward on energy, now I'm all the above, right? But when we move forward on energy, just in the fossil fuel, we lowered overall emissions because no one does it cleaner and better than us. So I prefer American energy. But remember, there's also a cost to being vulnerable. So unless we have the supply chain with processing, lithium, those things, we actually become more vulnerable to China. And then if you're a conservationist like I am, so let's talk about the disposal side. So yeah, 90% of the solar cells get cast into some landfill across the country. So what's the disposal plan on the back end when you got the batteries? Because we got to mine first, supply, you know, control the supply chain, and then make sure we just dispose of it properly. So, I'm not against any energy, but I am looking to make sure that we have the supply chain to make sure that we produce ultimately low cost, affordable, clean, and abundant energy.
Well, and one of the things.
By the way, I love modular nuclear. By the way, love it.
I was going to say small scale nuclear. I was almost going to say that, but I there's so much I always want to talk about, and I want to make sure we get our callers in too. But I was going to say small scale nuclear reactors. This is a totally different ball game, and to me, this also ties into national security. When that earlier caller that I think it was Benny B, who talked about national security and the threats on that front. We need more power all around. I mean, Ken can talk about solar and wind all he wants, but we still need coal, natural gas, hydropower dams, everything else. But the more we develop nuclear, that will also help us with our national security nuclear development as well, right?
Well, Aaron, I'm a former naval officer. We can take a nuclear power plant. wrap it in a tube, sit it down, you know, meters below the surface, arm it. I mean, come on. These nuclear facilities now, these small power units, they're safe, they're reliable, they're high technology. I mean, and they're clean. You know, and if we look at where we're going to put a national repository of the spent fuel and get that back online, you know, we'll be fine. I mean, you know, I look at other countries. You know, what, France has 143. You know, we're down in the low teens, maybe. So, you know, all the above is the answer. But to think in Montana that you're going to put solar cells on, you know, the BLM, by the way, released the report. There were 500,000 acres. Are prime for solar cells, according to this administration.
I saw that. That was
and
crazy.
Say, when you put solar cells on, you put an 8-foot chain link fence. You're never going to use that land for hunting, fishing, recreating, habitat. That is foul ground.
Foul ground, which will not be good for sage grouse. That you mentioned the Yellowstone TV show earlier. That was one of the brilliant episodes of the show Yellowstone. When he said, "Wait a minute, you mean to tell me that the cattle ranching over here harms sage grouse, but putting a bunch of solar panels out there doesn't harm the sage grouse? Just a bunch of enviro hypocrites." Let me see. We're short on time here, but Skip in Hamilton actually his question ties in with this very conversation. Any update on the dams on the Lower Snake River, the hydropower dams there? The Montana Electric Cooperative Association had an incredible feature in their Rural Montana magazine. But what's the latest on that front in trying to stop the Biden regime from tearing out those dams?
Well, if it wasn't for us stopping it, they're fully intent of ripping them out. And all stop. Right, so yeah, we got to vote wisely, guys. Yeah, this is enormous harm to Montana and on the upper watershed. Enormous harm. So,
that's right.
Stop.
Just about out of time.
So,
about, you know, 20 seconds to go. What do you want to share with folks across Montana?
Well, you know, from a report from Washington D.C., still haven't seen anything that's not fixable. But this is what happens when we don't pay attention. Everyone has to do their duty. So go out and vote, and look, you know, don't take the lies. You know, look what's going on. You know what? And Montana and the Constitution matter. So God bless America. And Aaron, thanks for hosting, by the way. You know, it's good to still be on air where you can express your opinion without some Google research downsizing the conservative message.
We've got the freedom for now, if we can keep it.